I want you to take your Bibles, if you have them tonight, and turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew. Matthew, I believe, is chapter number 16. I want to look at a passage of Scripture. Many of you may or may not remember this. Of course, if you weren't here 10 years ago, you wouldn't remember this. But if you were here 10 years ago, the first Wednesday night service that I did 10 years ago, I used this text in Matthew chapter number 16, and where Jesus in verse 17 said, answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." 10 years ago, I took that text and preached the first prayer meeting, and I called the message Church Building 101. Amen. I don't know if you remember it or not, but the church was at a pretty low ebb, and God sent us in to try to encourage the church. That was even before that God put it in my heart to pastor the church. I tried to remind you that night that the church is not yours and the church is not mine. The church is His, and He'll take care of it. And looking back these 10 years, I tell you, I thank God He's taken good care of His people, taken good care of His church. I don't know if I told you this from the pulpit or not. You pray for my voice tonight. I may be like Brother Coulter said, I might do a little teaching tonight, that preaching with the brakes on, amen. I don't know if it's pollen, I don't know what it is, but I get up every morning with a new battle, amen, with this throat. But what was I going to say? Somebody tell me what I was going to say. What was I talking about, amen? About what? About church building. Okay. And anyway, what the Lord's put in my heart for tonight, if you would look here recently, seems like God's been blessing us. Somebody say amen. About every Sunday, there's new faces. God's allowed us to see two teenagers and a young man saved in the last 3 weeks. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't brag on that. I'm trying to brag on Jesus, and you'll understand after a while. I want you to know there's churches that go years and years and don't get to see anybody saved. And it's a blessing to get to see people saved. But I believe God wants tonight, Brother Preston, also to sound a warning. And you'll understand after a while is that God has put this together in my heart. Amen. So I better get started and just kind of let you in on what the Lord wants me to do. I want to call the message tonight, When God's Blessing His Church. When God is blessing His church. I believe sometimes when God is blessing the church, we have a tendency to let our guard down. And if we're not careful, we have a tendency to forget where the blessings are coming from. And if we're not careful, we have a tendency to begin to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And I'll get into all this after a while, amen, in the chapter and show it to you in the Word of God. But I'd like to encourage you tonight. I'd like to try to help you tonight. And I believe the Lord will do that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to stand here in this place. God, I thank you for what you've put in our hearts. Lord, my heart tonight is full. Would you help me to empty it out before your people? God, that we might, Lord, understand tonight the exhortation given from God's word to his precious people this evening. Father, we thank you tonight for what you're doing. Lord, there's nothing too hard for thee. And Lord, as our brother already said, revival may not break out nationwide. Lord, and it really doesn't matter to me if it breaks out in our church. I'd just like to see it break out. because God, no one church could ever retain Holy Ghost revival. Lord, it'll spread. And I pray, dear God, you'd do something real in our midst. Thank you, Father, tonight, in Jesus' name, for what you're going to do. Amen and amen. I want to thank Devin for being here tonight. This is your first prayer meeting, ain't it, Devin? I hope and pray it ain't your last, son. Amen. Brother Eddie, when a man gets saved and shows up for prayer meeting, that's pretty good shape, ain't it, brother? Amen. I mean, God's done something in that heart. And his precious babies just seem to feel right at home. And his precious wife, amen. And we're just thankful tonight for what the Lord has done. I'm burdened for those teenagers, amen. I might be over here, but I ain't lost my burden for them. Amen. I still get to teach them on Sunday morning. And Miss Lisa was telling me that Hannah and Bryson brought some new ones tonight. And that's what it's all about. Amen. Get them in under the sound of the gospel. Love on them. Honey, this world ain't going to love on them. This world will use them and abuse them and put them up. Amen. Don't care nothing about them. Thank God we have a love for his people. Now, tonight I want to give you five things. I told you that up front because if you wasn't praying, you are now. Amen. I want to give you five things tonight from the chapter that I believe God would say to a church that he's blessing. The first thing is this: be alert. Be alert. Look in verse number 1 and let's read together in chapter 16. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it's evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them there, he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come together to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. What I'm saying about being alert, it's already been mentioned from the pulpit tonight. Brother Jason mentioned it. This is talking about, beloved, the fact that Jesus is coming. Amen. We ought to have a little bit of discernment about us. Amen. You say, Pastor, every time you turn on the news, there's an earthquake. Every time you turn on the news, beloved, listen, there's a famine. Every time you turn on the news, there's a pestilence. But I want you to know, beloved, listen, these are all road signs pointing to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's something here. He said you're not going to have a sign except for Jonah. And you remember in Matthew 12, I won't turn over there and read it. But Jesus said of Jonah, he said, as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. And what he was talking about, beloved, listen, they already had enough Bible, say amen, that Old Testament, and they missed him. Amen. All they had to do was read the gospel according to Isaiah, and they would have knew the Son of God, amen, was on the way, that he would be born of a virgin. They'd know where he was going to be born. They'd know how he was going to be born. They'd know how he was going to live. They'd know how he was going to die. And they'd know how he was going to raise again the third day according to the scripture. But they missed it, amen. He came unto his own. His own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's what he did for me. Hey, man, I received him one night, and he gave me power to become a son of God. Not the son of God, but a son of the living God. One preacher said it like this. He said, the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. Hallelujah. I got a chill bump on that one. Say amen. I'm in God's family. God is my Father tonight. Amen. And I'm looking for Jesus to come. I believe when God's a blessing the church, beloved, if we're not careful, we'll forget to look for him. Listen, I didn't know you was going to be here tonight, Devin, but so help me 2 hours ago. God stirred in my heart. And he said, listen, the next time that a man looks at you like that man looked at you the other night under Holy Ghost conviction, and the next time a man is getting ready to hit his knees in his living room, you better be alert. You better be looking, because that might be the last one. Amen. And Jesus will split the eastern sky. One of these days, the last one's going to be born into the church, the church of the living God. And beloved, it's going to be enough, and we're out of here. Amen. Be alert. The Pharisees, they lived according to the smallest points of the oral and the scribal law. The Sadducees received only the written word of the Holy Scriptures. The Pharisees believed in angels and the resurrection, and the Sadducees did not. You say, Pastor, why did you mention that? Because there's one thing that, beloved, brought the Pharisees and the Sadducees together, and that was opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And opposition to the message of the gospel. The Pharisees were not a political party and were prepared to live under any government. The Sadducees were aristocrats and collaborated with the Romans to keep the wealth and power. The Pharisees looked for and longed for the Messiah, and the Sadducees did not. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. I'll never forget years ago an old preacher preaching. He said, that's very sad. You see, amen, if you don't believe in the resurrection, beloved, that's very sad. I thank God tonight, listen, that this old book not only teaches us that he's coming, but hallelujah, it teaches us that we're going, amen, to a city with fast foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Secondly tonight, not only do we need to be alert, but we need to be aware. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, when you come on down in the text, he said in verse 6, he said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the disciples, they got kind of crossed up here. They thought Jesus was talking about physical bread. Go on with me. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Of which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, I want to say something to you tonight. The Bible said they reasoned among themselves. Honey, when Jesus is around, you ain't never reasoning among yourself. He knows what you're thinking. And that's what the Scripture's coming out with right here. The Bible said here, oh, you have little faith. Why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye brought no bread. Do you not understand? Neither remember the five loaves of the of the 5,000, how many baskets you took up. In other words, Jesus said, listen, can't you just remember what you just saw? And now you think, beloved, that I'm speaking because you forgot to bring bread over here? In other words, beloved, Jesus didn't need any bread to make bread. Say amen. And the Word of God said here, do not you understand? Now watch verse 10. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? I said we need to be alert. Amen. When God's a blessing the church, but we need to be aware. Amen. Listen to me tonight. Watch what he said here. Then understood how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Let me tell you something. When God's a blessing the church, the devil don't like it. Have you read in your Bible where God, where the devil sows his tares? Yeah, let me ask you, have you read in the Bible where the devil sows his tares? He wants to sow them among the wheat. So when God's a blessing his church, God's a building his church, Brother Preston, he's saying, be alert, Jesus is coming. Don't drive your stakes too deep down here. Even in the middle of a revival, even in the middle of the blessing, don't you forget, he's coming. And the best is yet to come for the children of God. But then he said, I want you to be aware, because just as sure as God's a blessing, old Slewfoot's going to do his best. Amen. to send in the doctrine that's contrary to the Word of God. And I'll tell you, beloved, a lot of our Baptist churches have fell prey to it. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, beloved, that they have fell prey, beloved, to that doctrine that said God's picked out this many for hell and this many for heaven. I tell you, there ain't nothing farther from the Word of God. Beloved, it's not His will that any should perish. And Jesus died for the sin of the whole world, the Bible said. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. You say, Pastor, we won't have to worry about that as long as you're pastor. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. You listen to me. I believe every church is just one pastor away from liberalism. Just one pastor away, beloved, from turning their back on the old red song book, turning their back on the old black book, the Bible. I'm telling you, but if God will just raise up a church with men and women with a backbone, it won't matter who comes in and stands right there. They're going to say, I'm going to stay in the old time way. I ain't giving in to this mess, amen, called modernism and liberalism and Calvinism. Amen. Not going to do it. Going to stay by the stuff. Leaven is consistently used in Scripture as a picture of sin and corruption. Amen. And God, Jesus, told His disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware. So we not only need to be alert, but we need to be aware. Jesus charged His disciples with three things. Ignorance was one of them, because they didn't understand that He was using material things, the leaven, to illustrate spiritual things. He charged them with unbelief, because they were overly concerned with the supply of bread when they had just watched Him take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000 men. That's besides the women and children. I've often said if there's just one woman and one child, you're talking about 15,000 people. And I believe there was more than that, personally. Say amen. Now, I want you to know, beloved, it ain't no problem at all for our Lord to feed the masses. Amen. And I thank God that He did. And then forgetfulness. There was a problem with forgetfulness because they seemed to forget what Jesus had done before. In regard to providing, amen, bread. I'm telling you, beloved, if we're not careful, we'll forget. Say amen. I said if we're not careful, we'll forget. We don't need to forget. We don't need to forget where God found us. We don't need to forget the mess that He picked us up out of. We don't need to forget the rock that He placed our feet on. We don't need to forget the song that He put in our heart. We don't need to forget, love and listen, when He put that desire in our heart for the things of God and the house of God and the Word of God and that prayer closet Brother Jason was talking about, a time to talk to God, amen, and then telling others what God has done for us. So we need to be alert when God's blessing the church. Number two, we need to be aware when God's a blessing the church. Number three, I guess the brakes ain't working too good, but it'll be all right, amen. Brother Coulter, they're smoking, brother, amen. Amen. Maybe after a while I can find me one of them off-ramps, Brother Eddie, like I got on 77 in them steep hills, amen, and bow it up in one of them sand pits, amen, and call it a night, amen. And I tell you what, I'm thankful tonight. I have a Savior. Said, it's my church, and I'm going to build it. And I'm going to build it on a rock. And the gates of hell ain't going to prevail against it. Now, let me say this to you tonight. He didn't say the gates of hell wasn't going to come against it. He said the gates of hell ain't going to prevail against it. Now, I'm telling you, beloved, what God has put in my spirit tonight is a major warning. When God's a blessing the church, it ain't time to quit praying. Amen. It ain't time to let your guard down. It's time to look up. Ain't time to quit looking for Him and living for Him. We need to be alert. We need to be aware. The third thing in the message tonight is we need to be grounded. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, this comes from the text. Look in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist. I'm going to tell you something right now. You listen to what I'm about to say. John the Baptist must have been something else for somebody to think it was John the Baptist to put his name alongside of Jesus. Would somebody say amen? And then some say, thou art Elias. Read your Bible about John the Baptist. Read your Bible about Elijah. These were some wonderful men of God. Say amen. They weren't perfect. They weren't the Son of God. But I tell you what, they were men of God. And this Jesus walked in such a way that he reminded them of John the Baptist. He reminded them of Elijah. And others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Maybe they had seen Jesus weep, heard about him weeping over Jerusalem, and thought, man, he must be Jeremiah. Watch what the Bible said. He saith unto them, But whom say ye? There's two questions here. He says to his disciples, When y'all are traveling around the countryside, who do men say that I am? And some are saying you're John the Baptist. Some are saying you're Elijah. Some are saying you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Now Jesus brings it home. He says he's no longer asking what the folks are saying. What do you say? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Watch this now. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now you need to understand in the Word of God, beloved, listen. That statement right there fulfilled what Jesus was saying. He said, I and my Father are one. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen? And beloved, when he said this, when Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, this was no wishy-washy statement. Peter is agreeing with Jesus. You are exactly who you said you are. Now watch this. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. Now, I didn't know Devin was going to be here tonight. I didn't. But I was going to talk about you behind your back. So I guess I'll just talk about you to your face. Brother Jason, you was with me the other night. You was with me when we was looking at Brother Devin's face and his countenance changed. Were you not, brother? You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm gonna get at something. Brother Jason was there. I'm going to be careful these steps, too. It might be these glasses. I'm telling you. Anyway, I'll blame it on something other than old age. Amen. You laughing at me or with me, Brother Mike? Okay, with me. Just so we knows where we stand. Amen. But let me say something to you tonight. We took a gospel in there. I shared my testimony, didn't I, brother? Ask him a question or two. By the way, I'm going to give this to you, church. Listen to me carefully. The term saved is thrown around loosely. The term Christian is thrown around loosely in our generation. Loosely. There's nothing wrong with asking somebody if they're saved. Nothing wrong with that. But you need to go a little deeper. Nothing wrong with asking somebody if they're a Christian. Never need to go a little deeper. Normally, before I do that, if I've never met the person, I ask a person if they go to church. And I ask them where they go to church. If you've studied just a little bit, if they go to church and where they go to church, you'll know something about what they're being taught. Say amen. If you study just a little bit. But the question I like to get to, and I didn't even ask you this question the other night, Devin, is if you died tonight, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? When we got there that night, the answer would have been no. Ain't that right? Now listen, we shared our testimony, shared the gospel with him. Now listen to me carefully. He said, Pastor, are you bragging? No, no, no. That man ain't saved because of me. He ain't saved because of Jason, because flesh and blood didn't reveal nothing to him. It was his Father. Are you getting a hold of this tonight? Yes, God will use us. And yes, God will use his word. But honey, it's the Father in heaven that has to change that countenance and speak to that heart. We can speak to a man's ears, but only God can speak to a man's heart. And I'm telling you, beloved, when I get into my next point, this will really help with that. But beloved, we need to be grounded. In Caesarea Philippi, I studied a little bit. It was an area associated with idols and rival deities. The area was scattered with temples and ancient Syrian Baal worship. And by Caesarea Philippi, there rose a great hill. There was a deep cavern, and the cavern was said to be the birthplace of the great god Pan, the god of nature. In Caesarea Philippi, there was a great temple of white marble built to the godhead of Caesar. It is as if Jesus deliberately set himself against this background of the world's religion in their history and splendor and demanded to be compared with them when he looked at his disciples and say, who do you say that I am? No longer, who do men say that I am? Beloved, when you study out Caesarea Philippi, it's the grace of God that somebody even knew who John the Baptist was. Who Jeremiah was. Who Elijah was. But in that background, Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Give me some things real quickly and we'll move on in the message tonight. I looked up these verses today. Whom do you say that I am? Well, anybody that knows the Lord could say all of these. But it would be possible to say some of these without saying all of these. Watch this now. The Bible declares Jesus to be the good shepherd. Jesus said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. How many could say amen? He's the good shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep. And then he's the great shepherd in Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He's the great shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The great shepherd gives his life to the sheep. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Thank God, he's given us life. Watch this. He's the chief shepherd. Going back to the opening, Brother Jason. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, the chief shepherd is coming again for the sheep. And ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Jesus said, John 10:14, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I've known of mine. John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Listen to me carefully. We were talking about doctrine a while ago. If I didn't have another verse of Scripture, this is all I need to say that when a man is saved, he's saved forever. He's saved eternally. Listen to this verse of Scripture. He said in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. According to that verse of Scripture, you say, Pastor, this is going to sound kind of arrogant. No, it's not arrogant. It's believing the Bible. According to that verse of Scripture, if this preacher was to ever die without God after being saved by the grace of God,
and go to hell, Jesus would be lying in that verse of Scripture. You say, Pastor, does that make you want to live loose? Oh, no. That makes me love Him. That makes me want to serve Him. That makes me want to say, Hallelujah! I'm saved forever. Amen. Listen to me tonight. He said, they'll never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Well, then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. They didn't like that doctrine. They didn't like that teaching. Say amen. I've had people say, if I believe what you believe, I just go live like hell. I'm going to tell you something right now. If Jesus ever comes into your heart and life, beloved, you're ever born again, the last thing in the world you want to do is live like hell. We lived like that before He got a hold of us. Say amen. Why in the world would we want to continue in that lifestyle? Amen. But now, you say, Pastor, you could believe that Jesus is the good shepherd. You could believe that Jesus is the great shepherd. You could believe that Jesus is the chief shepherd. But what about Psalms chapter 23 and verse number 1? The psalmist David said this, the Lord is. Somebody fill in the next word. You see, you can know all about all them other shepherds, but it's a difference in knowing about something. Knowing about somebody. I know who the president is. I'm not sure he does, but I know who the president is, but I do not know the president. Say amen. I know who the president is. And for many years of my life, Brother Eddie, I knew who Jesus was. I knew what He had done, but I didn't know Him. There's a difference between knowing who He is and what He's done and knowing Him in the free pardon of sin. We must come to a place where we agree with God. Brother Billy Mitchell said it like this, where we take sides with God against ourselves. Think about that. And when we do, we're a good candidate to be born from above, to be born again. You know, a lot of people tonight, Jesus said, flesh and blood's not revealed it unto thee. The book of Corinthians, Paul said, but I fear lest Satan should beguile you with subtlety as he beguiled Eve. In the next verse, he talks about another Jesus. You see, let me tell you tonight, beloved, if your Jesus started in the manger, you got the wrong Jesus. The Word of God said, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He became flesh in the manger. But that ain't where it begins. He's right back yonder with the Father when the Father said, let us make man in our own image. If your Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, you got the wrong Jesus. If your Jesus didn't live a sinless life, spotless, then you got the wrong Jesus. There's a lot of people say, oh, I believe He was a good man. I believe He was a prophet. I believe He was a priest. I believe He was a king. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. Old Peter got it right. He said, Jesus, let me tell you what I believe. I believe You're the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. When God's a blessing the church, beloved, listen, we need to be alert and we need to be aware, but we need to be grounded. We need to know what we believe. We need to know whom we've believed. And we need to know why we believe it. I'm not saying this to be critical, but there are people sitting in pews all across our country, and the reason they believe what they believe is their preacher said it. You better get in that book for yourself. You better understand, beloved, it's not so because I say something. But honey, when He says it, it's so. You can mark her down, amen. You can mark her down.
Number four, there's three things so far. Be alert, be aware, be grounded. Number four, we need to be careful. You say, Pastor, where did you get that? Turn over with me. Well, my Bible, I turned the page. Verse 21. And from that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. What do you mean, Pastor, we need to be careful when God's blessing the church? I'll give it to you like God give it to me. Peter, in another text, he said, Oh, I'll go with you. I mean, I'm going with you all the way. And Jesus said, Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me thrice or three times. You say, Pastor, what do you mean be careful? I believe tonight that when God's blessing your ministry, your church, your family, you need to be careful. If we're not careful, we'll begin to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Let me tell you something tonight. If I would be standing behind you somewhere in a store and you didn't know I was standing there and I heard you bragging on Bible Way, I'd be disappointed. I'm not saying you need to be ashamed of your church. Or be ashamed where you go to church. If I was ashamed to go here, I'd go somewhere else. Amen. If I stood behind you, now listen to me carefully. You might not believe, you don't have to believe it, but it's the truth. And I heard you bragging on your pastor. You don't need to be ashamed of your pastor. But I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, I believe there's a danger when God's a blessing his people to be lifting up everything or everyone except the only one that's worthy to be lifted up. His name is Jesus. If we're not careful, beloved, listen, Peter's saying, I don't like this. You're talking about going to Jerusalem. You're talking about dying. And listen, what Peter didn't understand was what he was talking about was the plan of God. And Peter and all the imps of hell wasn't going to interrupt the plan of God. It was going to take place. Listen to me carefully. The blessings of God, when God's blessing his people, blessing his church, if it has the correct effect in our lives, it will not cause us to be full of pride, but it will humble us. We leave a living room like Devin's the other morning, the other evening, Brother Jason. We don't come out of there, boy. Oh, no. We've missed the boat. Say amen. But God, we come out of there humble that the likes of him could use the likes of us. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? When God's blessing his people, we need to be careful that we don't get like Peter and begin to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Listen to some of these verses of Scripture. I'll let the Bible speak for itself. Paul said, For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Let me give you this verse just popped in my mind. Jesus said, Without me, you can do nothing. Brother Nick, years ago, I saw a preacher do that. He said, Without Jesus, he said, I'm a zero with the rim knocked off. Nothing. That's what we are without him. Nothing.
And we can't do anything without him. The Bible said, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. It happened to Peter just like Jesus said it would happen. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. If we want God to honor the work, we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Get in the prayer closet, Brother Jason, and say, God, we can't do it without you. God, would you show us another man like Devin that's got that big old hole in his heart that needs somebody to tell him, amen, that Christ can fill that hole in his life, that Christ can give him a purpose that nothing else in this world can. Watch this. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. How many remembers a man in the Bible by the name of Hezekiah? You remember him over in the Old Testament? Listen to these verses, please. Kind of parallel it with church building and God blessing his church. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name was spread far abroad. Listen, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Y'all get a hold of that? He was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. When I read that verse of scripture this afternoon, can I tell you the first thought that went through my mind? America. We were marvelously helped till we were strong. Got our chest stuck out. We got the world's biggest, mightiest, baddest military. We got the best weapons. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not sure we got anybody in this country that knows how to pull the trigger. God help us. We have forgotten God in this country that we live in. God has marvelously helped us till we were strong. I believe we're looking, beloved, listen, down the gun barrel of the judgment of God. I believe there's only two things, this is personal, that's kept the judgment hand of God off of America this far. A remnant of God's people and our stand with Israel. A remnant of God's people. Remember, he wouldn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Have you ever thought, God, why are you letting us get by? Sodomites on every corner, say amen. Why are you letting us get by? Drugs, illicit sex, drunkenness, all across the land. Let me tell you something right now. The cup of our iniquity is about to get full. And when it gets full, God is going to lower the boom on this country. And we need to be about our Father's business. And while God's a blessing us, we need to be careful that we don't forget. He giveth more grace. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Let's humble ourselves. And then lastly in the message tonight, not only do we need to be alert when God's blessing his people, be aware, be grounded, and be careful, but we need to be surrendered. Look what the Bible said in verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In another text, the word daily is added there. Take up his cross daily. You say, Pastor, why did you mention that? Because I believe the greatest apostle that's ever walked in shoe leather, the Apostle Paul, when he said this, I die daily. I believe he understood that. I listen, I would to God that we could crawl in an old-fashioned altar
and just surrender once and for all. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Every day, the world's going to be there. Every day, the devil's going to be there. Every day, the flesh is going to be there. And every day, we need to decide, I'm dying today. I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own anymore. I'm going to glorify God this day in my body and in my spirit, which are God's. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. God's trying to help us tonight. Listen to me carefully. Don't let your guard down. There's a very real devil, and he very much wants to get in. Let's bind together in the spirit of Christian love and unity and keep him on the outside. Somebody say amen. So that God can continue to work in our midst. Amen. Amen. You say, Pastor, you know something going on? No, I like to get out ahead of it. Amen. We had a president not too long ago. I won't say his name. His initials was B.O. He never acted. All he did was react. What God's doing tonight is taking action. Not waiting for something to happen to react to it. Say amen. God wants us to know he's blessing. God wants us to know what we need to be doing while he's blessing. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight.